910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Trump found guilty. I'm Richard Cantu.
There's no crime here. It's just they're out to get Donald Trump.
Matthew Turner outside the Manhattan courthouse where a jury convicted Trump on all 34 counts of falsifying business records to conceal a hush money payment that could have derailed his White House bid in 2016. That's the crime. Sentencing July 11th. Trump could get up to 4 years in prison on each count. Yes, he has his hand out.
The Trump campaign quickly sending out a fundraising request, calling Trump a political prisoner. Supporters flooding the website with donations. The campaign says it caused the site to crash. Some GOP mega donors already opening their wallets. Casino magnate Miriam Adelson pledging $100 million. Democrats also trying to capitalize on the verdict. Biden's campaign telling supporters the only way to keep Trump out of the Oval Office is the ballot box.
ABC's Perry Russum. This is ABC News. In a major policy reversal, the administration now allowing Ukraine to use U.S.-supplied weapons to attack Russian targets in Russia to prevent Kharkiv from being overrun. Separately, the island nation of Sri Lanka taking steps to stop its men from being duped by Russia into fighting in Ukraine.
The government is also sending a delegation to Moscow to bring back dozens of Sri Lankans already fighting on the front line who want to come home, some of them wounded. India and Nepal have also reported some of their men being persuaded to fight for Russia in Ukraine with offers of salaries, visas, and sometimes university places.
ABC's Inez de la Cutera. Vice President Harris delivered the commencement address at the U.S. Air Force Academy.
Today, you join the greatest fighting force the world has ever seen.
The vice president declared that U.S. allies are in awe of America's air superiority and its enemies are in fear of it. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
This update is sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. During every Brewers home game, fans will have the chance to win the all-new 2024 Toyota Tacoma, courtesy of your Wisconsin Toyota dealers. Visit brewers.com/Toyota to enter.
Join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State education officials are threatening to suspend funding to Wisconsin's biggest school district. Milwaukee officials were supposed to turn over important financial reports 8 months ago. The Department of Public Instruction says Milwaukee school officials have to submit an action plan to avoid having funds cut off. The Madison judge presiding over the latest Act 10 court case appears to have signed a recall petition against then-Governor Scott Walker. Governor Evers says Jacob Frost should not recuse himself.
Oh, I don't think so. Recusal is kind of a death knell of judiciary. Let's just let it play out.
Judge Frost could rule to restore union rights that many Wisconsin public workers lost in 2011. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Another dramatic Brewers win. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bottom of the eighth, all tied up 4-4. Full count, Gary Sanchez at the plate. The Cubs' Tyson Miller on the mound. Brian Anderson, Bally Sports Wisconsin with the call.
Full count to every batter this inning. Sanchez, high fly ball, center field. Taubman is back. Taubman's at the wall. And Gary does it again. Another eighth inning, two-run homer. Puts the Brewers in front.
Four 422-foot drive to center field, and the Brewers went on to win 6-4 over the Cubs, taking the series 3-1. Manager Pat Murphy on the season Sanchez has had so far.
He gives you a great at-bat. Like, the guy, yeah, he's going to have some strikeouts, but the guy's dangerous, and everybody in the league knows it.
The Brewers' homestand continues tomorrow night with a 3-series over the weekend against the Chicago White Sox. From American Family Field in Milwaukee, with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies, some late night showers, mid-50s by sunrise, south winds. Friday, a chance of showers and storms, mostly cloudy skies. Highs will top out near 70. Shower and storm chances will continue into Friday night. It's 60 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a great time to adopt a pet and help out a Milwaukee animal shelter. On Milwaukee.com's Matt Miller and the debut of a new completely legitimate attack ad. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves to watch true crime, but only if it's shoplifting, Pete Schwabba.
You got Nightlight. We're with you now, folks. We're going to chill out. We're going to have a great time tonight. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. We're going to talk about what we're going to watch this weekend. We're going to launch a new segment tonight. Got great guests. Great to have you with me. It's Thursday night in this short week. It feels like Thursday night. I got to be honest. So that's fun. I hope everybody's getting through the week okay. And, yeah, this is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba, your host, and I'm happy to be with you again, doing all we can to help people after a long day at work. What are you doing at work? Trying to look busy? Trying not to be seen by your boss? Trying to avoid talking politics? This is a big day for it, maybe. A lot going on. So let's pivot. Let's talk about things that bring us together, like movies and TV and music, things that are good for the soul. We're broadcasting statewide tonight from our beautiful studios here at City Deck Landing in Green Bay at WGBW on the Civic Media Radio Network. Anya Esther is back for more tomfoolery. How are you, Anya?
Well, I could never say no to tomfoolery. Of course I'm here. Hi, Pete. How are you doing?
Let's just see. If all goes as planned, there might actually be some ass jackery.
Oh, my.
And some shenanigans.
Oh, shenanigans. I'm down for. And
let's just see. Yeah.
Pete, don't promise, but if there's hijinks, will you tell me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you'll be the first.
Thank you.
You have a lot of control here on that side of the glass.
I do.
I will keep you informed. I do not want you on my bad side.
Good.
And I don't ever see that happening. It's great to have you here filling in for Conrad once again, and you'll be here tomorrow night, too, so that'll be fun.
That's right. I'm finishing out the week with you.
Excellent. And how are your accommodations here in Green Bay? You don't live in Green Bay.
I don't.
Neither do I.
I don't. I have found fantastic accommodations here in Green Bay. I won't give it away tonight because I am still staying there two nights, but maybe tomorrow night I'll give you some more details. I'm staying at just a beautiful little place in town, a family-owned place, I'll put it like that.
Okay.
Very, very happy to be up here
don't
in Green Bay.
Don't say anymore.
That's it.
Tell us tomorrow at the end of the show and then run like a thief in the night.
That's right. I will be sprinting back to Milwaukee.
Is that where you live, Milwaukee?
I do. I live in Milwaukee, and then usually you hear me over on the WAUK channel in Waukesha. So, yeah. Yep.
Now, how close do you live to that? Is it a difficult commute for you?
You know, as long as there's not a Brewers game or a Bucks game or just general traffic or anybody from Chicago is in the general area, I'm good. So it's usually a 45-minute drive.
Oh, that's still long, though. Yeah, you seem more like a city, like Brady Street, East Side type. Okay.
Yeah, that's nice. Where I'm close to. Yeah, it's Brady Street.
Is the Comedy Cafe sign still up on Brady Street by Van Buren, or did they take that down?
No, I think I remember seeing the sign you're talking about. I think that's gone. I think the building ended up becoming the Bar Updown, which is a barcade. They've got like skee ball and stuff.
Oh, wow.
But I think that sign is gone. I'm sorry to tell you.
That's okay.
I do remember it when I moved there, though.
Yeah, it was still up. It was up for a long time. Really fun guest tonight, folks. Wisconsin native and actor from the show The Rookie, Jan Jansen, will be here at 7:35. I have never spoken with Jan. We've been Facebook friends, but he's got some really cool credits. He's a really good actor. He will be here to discuss his career in Wisconsin and his connection to our very cool state at 7:35. And we'll tease a little bit from the show. He is on The Rookie in just a bit. Ben Reiser will be here from the Wisconsin Film Festival at 8:35. Ben is a movie aficionado, and I have been jonesing like to have someone on the show to really dig into some TV and film, like summer blockbusters and what we're binge watching. And Ben will help me do that. He's always fun to talk to, and he's very opinionated, which I like. So he'll be here at 8:35. We're gonna launch a new segment tonight. Every Thursday night, moving forward, we'll start at 8:20. It's called What to Watch. And our question tonight kind of goes hand in hand with a new segment. What will you watch this weekend? What will you go to the theater for? What will you stay in and binge watch on TV? Is there something you hate, but you have to finish it because you're invested? That's kind of how I am with Baby Reindeer. But I would love to hear what you guys have to say. What will you watch this weekend, theater? What will you binge watch on TV? It's our new segment, What to Watch. I will read all texts pertaining to this topic at 8:20. So that'll be fun. And I think we're going to do something on Mondays too. Like to kind of recap the weekend and see maybe how was it? Like open-ended, what did you do this weekend? Did you have fun? What did you watch? What did you think? Because I got to be honest, when you go to Rotten Tomatoes, you have the critics' reviews, which I always like to read, and there's some critics I really like. You get a ballpark. None of them are perfect. Some of the reviews you read, you're like, well, I guess that's kind of positive, but it's like barely positive, but it still goes in the positive or fresh ranking. I like to look at the audience reviews too, because that is what you know. That's the common people. That's who we are. And that's when we go to the theater, you know, Garfield got like a 43% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it's got like 85 audience score. And that's okay. You know, you want to have fun. I'm not looking for a masterpiece every time I go to the movies. Doesn't have to be Citizen Kane, but I want to see what I expect to see, if that makes sense. I want to be able to laugh if it's a comedy, be titillated, if I can use that word on the airwaves. If it's a scary movie, yada, yada. So that's our new thing. So we'll get into that Monday. Tonight is What to Watch. So send us your text. Let us know what you're planning on watching this weekend, and we will read them at 8:20. Oh, you know what we should do on you? We should see if we can find some fun lead-in music. We're kind of doing this on the fly.
Oh, yeah. I love doing it on the fly. That's fine.
Yeah, you're good at that. I was going to wait till the K-Man came back, but I thought, you know what? I bet Anya would really dig this, too, because you like movies and TV. You're a writer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I would do a little bit of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll do it tonight. It'll be a fun kickoff to What to Watch. So that is tonight, our maiden What to Watch. I have to tell you. Okay, so I saw this. This was so weird. And it shows you how, you know, when you're a famous rock star, you start off, you're like this edgy guy or group or whatever, and you have your run, but fame is so addicting. It really is so addicting. And when you start to fade, most artists will compromise their principles to stay in the limelight. And that's what happened. I have this video. I almost debated whether or not to show this because it's visual, but you have to Google I Was Made for Loving You, Baby, Kiss, and Linda Carter. It's Linda Carter singing the Kiss hit I Was Made for Loving You, Baby. Great song. And then the band Kiss, this supposedly badass band, doing Soft Shoe around Linda Carter, who looks amazing and can sing and is an incredible dancer, as it turns out. But I'm like, that can't be the real Kiss guys, lowering themselves. But it is. And then, of course, they made a comeback, and they're still fun to watch in concert. I can't wait to talk about this tomorrow night with Terry Barr. but I my eyes were like, I cannot believe what I'm seeing. And I'm sure I can hear the network pitch. And then you guys will come out and you'll sort of dance around like Broadway chorus boys. It was so crazy seeing Kiss do this. So we're just going to play the audio and picture, if you will, or Google Linda Carter singing this song. She's actually pretty good. And just picture Kiss kind of tap dancing around her. Go ahead, Anya. Let's go forward about halfway to where I Was Made for Loving You starts, because there was a lead in on that. I probably should have given you a heads up there. So here's I Was Made for Loving You. It's about 1:30-ish.
I'll need just one second
oh,
here.
Oh, yeah. No, go ahead. Take your time. This is why I should have got here 2 minutes earlier so I could prep on you better. I thought I said that in the email, but Sherry's checking in. Good evening, Pete and Anya. Good evening, Sherry. Mike Desitel checking in for our Mayor of Kingstown starts a new season on Monday. Glad to see Jeremy Renner back on his feet after near-death accident. Yeah, we'll talk about that, Mike, because I got to be honest, I gave that show a chance, and it just seems like it was sort of a made-up position. These guys are like prison brokers. Maybe the position really exists. I don't know, but I was just either too clueless, but I didn't buy it. But we'll talk about that. We'll read that again at 8:20, because that's a good, and that's a show I have not heard on this, on Nightlight yet. It was the Mayor of Kingstown, but they really push it. They advertise it like crazy. How we doing? We good?
You know what, Pete? I may have to play for you in the next segment, my
Don't
friend.
Don't worry about it. We'll do it next segment. Absolutely no problem at all. We can pivot here to what I think is another really weird story. Jerry Seinfeld. I don't know what is going on with Jerry Seinfeld. He's one of my comedy heroes. But every time he opens his mouth these days, he just sounds like a crabby old dude. And I respect what he says a lot of the times, but I think there's a point where comedians reach. I used to think it was after 50, but I think it's more of a frame of mind. And Seinfeld is 70. And I also don't want to just blame it on age, but you have to stay current. And I'm sure he does on some level, but he's taken a lot of shots at comedians and, you know, when he was promoting Unfrosted, he was all over the place. This is what he said today. And I'm kind of reading this out of the Hollywood Minute that I just wrote that will be on Civic Media tomorrow throughout the day. I'm paraphrasing, but Seinfeld says he misses the days of real men. And I can't stand that that phrase. Like, everybody thought John Wayne was a real man. John Wayne was a pretty good actor who played a pretty good tough guy. But as I understand it, and there are a lot of actors who served, and I don't strictly put your manliness on whether you served or not. But don't say a guy's a real man because he looks macho or is tough. Because you don't know anything about, like, that's like saying Vin Diesel. His real name is like, it's not Vin Diesel. It's not nearly that manly. So you can change your name and you can hit the weights. You know, Jimmy Stewart served, I think, in World War II. He doesn't look like a macho guy, though. Anyway, Seinfeld says he misses the days when there was a hierarchy that started with manly men at the top like JFK, Muhammad Ali, and Sean Connery. And we all know about Sean Connery's history with women. He admits it, slapping multiple women when he thinks they deserved it. What is Seinfeld talking about? Maybe he just slipped up and forgot because Sean Connery was a good actor. But man, he's a guy who was tough to root for at the end of his life. And don't give me that, oh, Pete, it was a different time. No, sorry. I know my grandpa never hit my grandma. Ridiculous. What is Seinfeld doing? I don't know. As usual, folks, you're welcome to chime in on anything we're talking about here tonight. So please do. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table. And was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
CeeLo Green turns 49 today. I love that song. Let's play that. Just let that go just a little bit on you. That's so great. And I have to say, though, that I have that fear. I knew I sent you an edited version of that. I still, when he hits that beat, I'm like, oh, please.
But every time, both for the F word and the S word, my heart dropped. And then I was like, we're okay. We're bad. We're okay. We're bad. It's a roller coaster you take me on every show, Pete.
Oh, that's what I'm here for. You know, it's so weird, too, because like I like the song with the F word, the actual F word.
I do, too.
Pops and it sounds and it's how people talk and it's great. But when he came out with it, originally there was one on the radio where he said, forget you. And that's so lame.
That was the version when you sent it. I was like, why does this sound different? And you're right. It's because he's saying F you. I'm used to the radio version that says forget you. You're
this
so
is
right.
Better. F you is better than forget you.
Yeah.
Because F you is like a way of saying the phrase without saying, look, here's how I feel. But I'm going to spare you the rated R version. But anyway, that's a great song. CeeLo Green turns 49 today. Okay, so we have, let's do this. What do we have here? Anya, what were we going to do? We're going to do Kiss.
Yeah, we got some Linda Carter to talk about.
Oh, man. Let's do this first. Okay, last week I was in Madison. And this is going to be another segment we're going to do. I'm going to try to do it every week. I want to talk to everybody in every town in Wisconsin. It's going to take a while. I started with Madison because I did the show from there last week. So here is a segment I'm introducing tonight. And maybe we'll find a time for it that's regular. But tonight we're just going to play it. These are some people I met in Madison, in our great state of Wisconsin. And here is a version of Pete on the street.
Awesome. What's your name?
My name's Emily.
Emily, nice to meet you.
I absolutely love the city of Madison. There's nowhere else I'd rather live in my 20s. It's great. I love the people. I love everything about it. I came from about 20 minutes north of Milwaukee.
Okay.
So
you choose Madison. Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like Wisconsin overall? Are you a fan of Wisconsin?
I would say living in Madison has made me more of a fan of Wisconsin, but I do miss like the bonfires and like cookouts, like that kind of aspect of home in the suburbs.
Nice.
The worst thing about living in Madison, the housing. Yeah.
Expensive.
Oh yeah. Just unbelievably. It's a nightmare.
What do you do when you see weird people on State Street? What's your reaction to that?
Weird people on State Street, I mean, I kind of just am looking at them trying to guess what their story is. I love to talk to the weird people on State Street. Everybody has a story.
That's a great answer. What are you watching on TV?
Right now I'm watching Station 19, which is a spinoff of Grey's Anatomy. I don't watch Grey's Anatomy anymore, even though they're still making it. Gossip Girl to get me kind of in the mood for school in the fall again.
What about, have you seen any of the summer blockbusters?
No, I haven't, but I've heard about Challengers. Been interested in seeing that one. And there's a new scary movie out, The Watchers or something like that. I'm interested in seeing that too.
Brittany,
what are you watching on TV?
What am I watching on TV? I'm watching Baby Reindeer. I'm on episode 3.
Me too. How disturbing is that show?
Okay, it's weird right now, and I had to take a break, and then I heard that episode 4 is probably the greatest episode in television history, so now I'm going to start back up so I can finish the cringe.
It gets even more.
You think finished
she's,
it?
You think she's weird?
He gets weird.
Oh, my gosh.
He's already weird.
she sets the table for his weirdness. And I'm not done with it yet, but...
they might be a great couple.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who am I to judge?
Yeah.
What do you think about Madison?
I love Madison.
Do you?
Yeah.
Did you grow up here?
I did.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's the worst thing about Madison?
The Beltline. Yeah, the Beltline.
Most people say
it's not
expensive.
Even traffic. Yeah. Yeah, I guess housing, but yeah, the traffic. The Beltline's a concrete jungle.
What do you think of how, what do you do when you see really weird people on State Street?
Smile.
No.
Why are you about to do something?
No. I love the weirdness. I love seeing people that are different. And I'm Peacock, so a lot of streaming.
Have you ever Netflix cheated?
No, it's too expensive. Oh, I don't mean like pirated, like you're watching something with your girlfriend and then you go ahead in the series.
Oh, yes, I definitely did that for one show, but I can't remember off the top of my head. She was kind of upset.
Okay, what's your name?
Grace.
Grace, what are you watching on TV?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Have you ever Netflix cheated?
Yes.
Yeah. I guess we're so open about your cheating.
Immorality.
That was fun. And we have another. I talked to a lot of people in Madison, so we'll play a little more of that tomorrow night too. But always fun to talk to people on State Street. I'm coming to your town at some point. I drive around the state a lot anyway, so I'm going to stop and talk to as many people in as many towns as I can. So we'll do that, and we'll find out how crazy or how fun or how disturbing Wisconsin can be. Hey, Nightlight with Pete Schwab is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, which is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. I will be back there again for another remote soon. It's always fun to be there. It's a really cool little space. So I'm just checking in here from the 414. Tom said, I don't understand this, Tom. We might need some clarification. But he says, Pete, just you are famous. Do you know who I am? As they say, guilty. So I don't understand that, Tom. Please break down. What do they used to call that when you break down a sentence in school?
Oh, sentence.
Structure?
Sentence or? Mapping of no. My boyfriend, who's a linguist, is probably screaming it at the radio. But sentence structuring, something like that.
We need some clarification.
Yeah, an expert out there, hopefully.
Sentence, breaking down a sentence. It's not that, though. I don't know. All right, so as I mentioned, Jan Janssen will be along shortly. He is a Wisconsin native and an actor. He's lived in L.A. for years, but he is just finishing up a run on The Rookie. And we have a clip here. This is Jan in the show The Rookie, and I'm gonna ask him about this when he joins me shortly, but let's hear that now, Anya.
Jan, where's everybody going?
Pool party at Mario.
No, we don't have the staff for that. You have to stay.
Well, Acting Sergeant Smitty says we don't.
Oh, can you talk to them?
I believe it was Tim and Gray who sent you back to Raymond Smitty.
They don't respect me, but...
What are you talking about?
You just saw,
Yeah, that's because Smitty told them to go home. You just have to tell them something different.
Hey,
after everything you have been through, how often you have proven yourself, there's not a cop in here who would not have your back if you asked.
Hey, guys, listen up. I need your help. We have two sergeants out of commission in the hospital right now and a murder suspect on the loose. That search has us spread pretty thin. We need all hands on deck right now. I'm sorry, but the pool party, it has to wait.
You got it, Chen. Let's go, guys. You heard her.
Thank you.
That was actor Jan Janssen on ABC's The Rookie. We'll talk to Jan in a few minutes. Ben Reiser will join me at 8:35. And how's this for a rundown of movies that you might hear Ben and I talking about? And of course, I lost my text. But Furiosa, Challengers, Fallout, Ripley. We've seen, between the two of us, I think we've seen everything that's out. So you can join that conversation too at 8:35 and send us your text as to what you're watching. But the new segment tonight at 8:20, I read your texts. What to watch? What will you watch this weekend? Are you going to the movies to see a summer blockbuster? Are you going to stay home and cringe or binge watch something? No right or wrong answers, folks. Got some great texts already, but let us know and we'll read them at 8:20. Jan Janssen is coming up next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. So great to have you with me on this Thursday in Wisconsin. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is a special report from ABC News. Trump found guilty. I'm Richard Cantu.
There's no crime here. It's just they're out to get Donald Trump.
Matthew Turner outside the Manhattan courthouse where a jury convicted Trump on all 34 counts of falsifying business records to conceal a hush money payment that could have derailed his White House bid in 2016. That's the crime. Sentencing July 11th. Trump could get up to 4 years in prison on each count. Yes, he has his hand out.
The Trump campaign quickly sending out a fundraising request, calling Trump a political prisoner. Supporters flooding the website with donations. The campaign says it caused the site to crash. Some GOP mega donors already opening their wallets. Casino magnate Miriam Adelson pledging $100 million. Democrats also trying to capitalize on the verdict. Biden's campaign telling supporters the only way to keep Trump out of the Oval Office is the ballot box.
ABC's Perry Russum. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Perry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Americans are drinking less milk than ever. Milwaukee Magazine reports fluid milk consumption's been dropping since the USDA began tracking it in 1975. Milk-like beverages made from almonds, oats, and soy are largely to blame. Wisconsin is the second leading milk-producing state in the nation, behind California. Summer's coming. Wisconsin spends 11 more days than we used to, with highs in the 90s or hotter. Roop Singh of the Red Cross Red Crescent Climate Center says heat waves are a silent killer.
We don't see the same images that we see when there's an extreme flooding event or hurricanes, but heat waves are only second to disease epidemics in terms of the lives lost from natural hazards.
Sunday is Heat Action Day, and that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Pete with the 60-second showbiz beat. No highly anticipated blockbusters open this week as the box office takes a breath after the holiday weekend. There are, however, several well-reviewed films opening, including The Dead Don't Hurt, written and directed by Viggo Mortensen, who also stars. The film is a Western drama and is reviewing well with critics, including the Capital Times' Rob Thomas. Summer Camp has some serious star power in Diane Keaton, Kathy Bates, and Alfre Woodard, but has not been shown to critics yet, so beware. Also opening is Ezra, starring Bobby Cannavale and Robert De Niro. The film has been described as a heartwarming comedy that is directed by Tony Goldwyn. If you were trying to catch up on blockbusters already released, definitely check out Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, which was number one at the box office last week and drew excellent reviews. Family films The Garfield Movie and If are a big hit with audiences, and if it's more adult comedy you're looking for, you can still check out the film Babes. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms, especially this afternoon. Our high 71. Tonight, scattered showers, thunderstorms 55. Tomorrow, a shower in the morning, sunny in the afternoon with a high tomorrow right around 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest, Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, "I just don't get it. What was in it for them?"
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us for a Friday edition. We'll get you ready for the weekend, take a look at some fun things, and talk a little politics along the way. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Mike checks in on the stream and says, Seinfeld is the same age now as his Uncle Leo last season. Just saying. Yeah, that could explain his hostility lately. I don't get it. Hey, if you have not checked out the Civic Media app yet, you have to do it. It's so easy to use. You could take all your favorite shows with you wherever you go. It's incredibly easy to be part of the shows, too, because there's a little text icon, especially for Nightlight. We're on statewide, so you can listen on almost any station, unless there happens to be a sporting event on that night on that particular station. But there's a text icon. You just click it and text away. It's very, very easy to use, and we love it when you participate in all the Civic Media shows. And I love it when you participate in Nightlight. It just makes for good conversation. So check it out if you have not downloaded the Civic Media app yet. Very excited to welcome my next guest. He is an actor and a Wisconsin native, and I've been hoping to cross paths with this guy even before I had a radio show, but I guess we'll get to know each other on the air tonight. Jan Jansen joins me now. Wisconsin native and actor. How's that for a resume, Jan?
Hey, it's good to be from Wisconsin, and I'm happy to be working in Hollywood. It's a good combination.
Absolutely. Well, welcome to Nightlight. It's great to have you, buddy. And so before we get into The Rookie, tell me a little bit about your background. What was your life like here? How did you end up on the West Coast?
I'm originally from Marshfield, Wisconsin, so shout out to my hometown right away. Nice. I ended up kind of getting into some acting in a community college in Rochester, Minnesota, and did some theater there for a little bit. Kind of that Hollywood dreams kind of started to take place, and got into some screenwriting, some different things like that. And in 2005, I made a music video for American Idol, and they had a contest, actually 2004 and 2005, where you could make a music video, and they'd had a little contest online. People voted each week, just like they vote for contestants. And in 2004, I was the runner-up nationwide. 2005, I made a different music video and ended up winning that. Nice. Which actually took me to Hollywood for my very first time I ever got to go to Hollywood, winning that contest. So cool. That was my first time setting foot in Hollywood. And I ended up working at Channel 7 WSAW in Wausau, doing movie reviews and running cameras there for a couple years. And that's actually, Pete, when the first time I ever heard about you was when you did Godfather of Green Bay. I remember promoting it on my show back then. So
have we met? Did we
kind of come full circle?
Did we meet in Wausau?
I don't know if we did or not. I can't remember even where I saw that, if I drove to Green Bay to see your film or how. Yeah, I remember seeing it on the big screen somewhere. You must have screened it somewhere. I saw it.
Yeah, I've been racking my brain. They used to have these Wisconsin get-togethers too. When I lived in LA for almost 15 years, and they would have like a big brat fest at the Universal Hilton or something like that, you know. And all these people from Wisconsin would go, and it was fun. I know I met you somewhere along the line, but anyway, I remember being at WSAW. That's kind of cool. So
sure, and that might have been it. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. So when did you, that's different. Making a video is different, Jan. When did you realize you wanted to be an actor? And when did you think, I can do this?
I mean, it was just doing, I played football through high school and always had a football dream, had an injury in high school that I was like, okay, I guess football's not going to be my life dream. And then I fell into acting, just taking it as a class in Rochester, Minnesota. And the director of that, the person who ran the class, was directing a stage play and said, hey, you should audition. And I'm like, I'm not an actor. I'm just taking this as an elective. And he's like, give it a shot. So I did. He cast me in it. And from the second I got on stage, there was this kind of synchronicity between football, playing sports, and theater and acting. It was like your directors, your head coach, your castmates are your teammates. The plays that you run on the field are the blocking you get on stage. It was just, there was something. And then you have the audience reaction in live theater that you get when you're on a football field and you make a good play, the audience is cheering for you there. So there was something about that really, I was like, wow, I can walk away from football and this could be my path. And I'm thankful that happened in that way. And then just the Hollywood thing kind of, you know, it was like, well, where can I do this? And that, you know, loving movies and everything. I'm like, hey, let's go big.
And you're not going to get blindsided on stage either in a bad
concussion. It's a little safer. Yeah. Little controlled. Even if a person's doing stunts, there's a little control to that.
It's
so
funny
yeah.
that you say that, because I've always said, like, it seems like kids play less and less sports now. And I worked part-time at a middle school a few years ago, and I always told them, I go, look, if you don't want to play sports, that's fine, but do something. And you're right. Theater or in a band, you learn those same lessons, working together toward a goal. You all have each yeah. other's back. You really, and sports are great. I played sports very mediocrely, but you know, those are great lessons, but I agree with you. And I'm surprised more people don't say that or try to steer kids into the creative arts, because you do get those same lessons.
Yeah. The creative arts. I mean, yeah. I mean, people need to let their kids do that. It's a great creative outlet for kids. Just, you know, and especially with theaters, plays, those kinds of things, just the teamwork and the family that you kind of build in that, you know, I mean, yeah. even putting on a show, doing a movie, any of those kinds of things, there's a lot of people involved, and it's learning that teamwork and everything. And also just a great creative outlet that for stress, things like that, people learn to kind of funnel things, your energies into that. It's a great release.
So tell me, Jan, you said you grew up in Marshfield. You went out to LA to do the video, and that was the first time you set foot out there. But moving out there is a big deal, and a lot of people just don't want to pull the trigger. They're like, well, I'll see what I can do here. And that's fine, too. But yeah. what made you – tell us how you forged a path from Marshfield to Hollywood to make it your home.
One day I was working at Channel 7 in Wausau, and they knew that was my dream. They knew that was where I wanted to go and eventually be. Like I said, I was just reviewing movies for them, you know, kind of like a 5 o'clock Friday night segment. And one day I was in the editing bay putting a little package together for somebody else, for one of the reporters. And I was just like, okay, it's time. Something just triggered that day. And it's like, you know, enough talking about it. Let's do it. And I went in, told the station manager, and just said, hey, I'm leaving in a month. I'm giving you my notice now. And literally my last day was June 1st of 2007 at the station. And June 8th, 2007 was my first day in Hollywood. So,
wow.
I'm coming up on 17 years this in June 8th. It'll be, so
good for you, yeah, man.
Thankful to be there. So
yeah.
Thankful to still be there, I should say.
So, you must have walked into the casting call. I could see you. We're on a stream right now. By the way, Anya, tell people how they can watch in the stream, if you would, please.
Oh, you can watch our streams on Facebook, on YouTube, and on that app that used to be called Twitter that's now called X, or X. You can watch us there.
X Twitter. And check us out on the stream, folks, because you're going to take one look at Jan and go, oh, yeah, this guy was born to be in a cop show. You got that cop look. You got the hair. You must have walked into that casting call and are like, all right, we're doing something with this guy. The Rookie, 31 episodes, not too shabby, buddy. That's pretty impressive. Tell us about The Rookie.
Yeah, The Rookie. I mean, I did a show called Castle. I worked on a show called Castle for 8 seasons. Was lucky to kind of be in there. I started on the 3rd episode of that series and worked all 8 seasons on that.
Nice.
And then one of the writers, and ended up being kind of like a co-showrunner of Castle, and also the lead actor, Nathan Fillion. They, Alexi Hawley was the writer. Alexi ended up creating The Rookie after Castle wrapped. And I, on Castle, I mean, I've done a lot of background work. That's mostly what I do in LA. You know, just background on a lot of different shows, but I was lucky to have a great run on Castle. And then when The Rookie started up, they asked me to come along and join them on that. So from day one, of the pilot, I was there on The Rookie, and, little by little, as the seasons have gone along, I've gotten, you know, some speaking parts, and more as we've gotten into the last couple seasons. The show itself just hit 100 episodes this past season. We had a shortened 10 episode season because of the writers and actors strikes last summer. So we only had a short but really powerful and good 10 episode season for season 6. And we hit 100 episodes in that. So it's great to be a part of a show that runs that long, hits that landmark. It's just a great achievement for any show. But for our show, I mean, I'm proud for everybody involved, because it's a great family. It's a great group of people there.
Yeah. And that is the voice of Jan Jansen. He's an actor who is a Wisconsin native, but he's been in LA, he says, for almost 17 years. He's been on the show Castle and now The Rookie, which just wrapped up. How important is that, Jan, getting in with writers and producers who will bring you, not so much have your back because they're going to cast the right person, but at least get you in the door every time they have a new project.
I mean, I think it's the same as any kind of job. You know, as the more you get to know the people that kind of run things, and if you show up every day, you're happy to be there, you love doing what you do, I think people like having those kind of people around. So that's all I've ever wanted to do. I love being there. Again, I do a lot of background work. That's fine with me. I love being on a set. There's no place better than being on a set. So just loving that each day, no matter what I get to do, whether it's doing crosses in the background or a day where they say, hey, you're in the script, you know, for the next episode. It's all fun for me. And just being there, loving it, I think is what's important for everybody. So
you have that Wisconsin Midwestern attitude, like you're just happy to work, man. And I bet you're so easy on the set and people just love being around you because of that. You know, that's what I found when I lived in LA. I had a network of stand-up comics, but I also gravitated toward Midwesterners, whether they were Chicagoans or Wisconsin or even Minnesota. What do you say, what you just said about being on a set and how great it is? And then you, like, I do these Hollywood beats here at Civic Media, and Patricia Richardson, who was on Home Improvement, was making $1 million an episode for years. She said, She said they wouldn't match her money with Tim Allen, who was making $2 million a year. And he basically co-created the show. It was based on his stand-up. I mean, I never thought the show was that great, but she says, this is just the excuse I needed not to come back. And then, you know, there are guys like you or other actors who do well, but are like, do you think she's crazy? Or do you understand that on some level?
I mean, to each their own. I guess everybody has their own perspective of what gets them up in the morning, what takes them, what makes them come to set. You know, I love being there because for me, I've done other jobs and things, and it's like there's nothing. I always kind of say it this way: in the 17 years I've been in LA, I've never, like, it's never been a job. It's I love getting up, no matter how early it is, no matter how far the location is away that I have to drive in the morning. You know how LA is spread out so far. Yeah. It's like you can work in Long Beach one morning at a 5 a.m. call time, and that means you're leaving Hollywood at 3:30 in the morning. You know, it doesn't matter. Just being there, once you're on set, the cameras are set up and everything's going, it's like, yeah, this is where I want to be.
You want to hear something crazy? When I lived in LA, my wife and we eventually had two kids out there, I was closer. This will drive you crazy because I was a writer most of the time. I did a couple staff jobs while I was there, but primarily screenwriting. So I'd go to a coffee shop, whatever, and I had an okay run, but I never had to really be on the freeways other than when I had a meeting, if I had to go to Culver City or whatever, and okay, whatever. But when you don't do it every day, the grocery store there was closer than the grocery store in Marinette, Wisconsin is to me right now. I had a Starbucks out my door. I mean, I'm one of the few people, I think, that it was easier for me to live in LA, and even to some extent, my wife's job, she was a mile from her school. It was crazy. It was like a small town to us. And I know that's a rare experience, but
yeah. And LA has all those little pockets where, you know, you have the supermarket down the street, you have all the little things, and there's so many little neighborhoods in the vastness of LA that you kind of, you know, you find your little community there and things that are close by. But yeah, if you have some errands to run on a day, you know, things can take up a little bit of your day. You might need a whole day off to run from here to there.
Or if you live in the valley and want to go to the beach, it could be an excursion. But
exactly.
So you mentioned this Nathan Fillion. That was one of my questions because I saw he was the lead in both shows. Are you guys pals, or was your connection more through the producers, or how did that work?
I mean, I've gotten to know Nathan just through the course of being on the two shows. I never knew him going into Castle, but got to know him just from being there regularly every day. And, you know, and still it's, you know, great to have that friendship with him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I mean, it's kind of funny because the character name that I have on the show, on The Rookie, is Officer Jan, which is only due to Nathan. There was a scene that we were shooting one day with Pete Davidson was in the scene, and Eric Winter, and we're in a van. I'm in the front seat of the van, kind of like I'm driving this undercover van. And Nathan, you know, kind of makes a reference like, yeah, the officer up there is going to take you back to the station. That was kind of in the script. But in the scene, he goes, Officer Jan up there is going to take you back to the station, and just threw my name out there in the scene. That's so awesome. We're on set. Yeah.
Hold that thought. We'll come right. I want to hear the rest of this, and I got more questions for you. My guest is actor and Wisconsin native Jan Jansen. More with Jan coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI Overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
So tonight is our first crack at a new segment called What to Watch. So let us know what you're going to watch this weekend. Are you going to go to the theater and watch a summer flick, a blockbuster? Or are you going to stay at home and binge watch something? Let's celebrate all of us inside people, and let's talk about what we're going to watch. I will read your text at 8:20 tonight. Let us know on the text line what you plan on watching this weekend, and we'll see if this goes over. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. We got some really good text so far, so these will be fun to read. And I'll tell you what I'm going to watch, too. And maybe we'll ask Jan Jansen what he's planning on watching this weekend. He is my guest, and he is from ABC's The Rookie. He had a very nice run on The Rookie after having a nice run on Castle, and he's originally from Marshfield, Wisconsin. So, Jan, you were in the middle of a story. Your co-star just said Officer Jan, and that stuck? Is that how that works?
Yeah, it was funny because then, like, the next episode, one of the writers comes up to me, and he's like, hey, so you're Officer Jan now. Since Nathan called you that in the last episode, like, we got to call you Officer Jan. And then it's been Officer Jan ever since. So it's kind of funny. I mean, the odds of, A, getting to work on a big hit show like that and being on there regularly, you know, hitting it at 100 episodes, and then the character name you're playing is actually your own name. It's kind of, I mean, does it get any better than this? I don't know. I'm enjoying it.
I over the years, I've really, even more and more, I just love LA cop shows. And yeah. I'm a big fan of the show Bosch. I saw that Annie Wershing was on The Rookie. She recently passed away. Did you ever have any scenes with her or come in contact with her?
Yeah. There were scenes that we were part of, at different times, like where she was brought in from the prison into our precinct where the very first time she was kind of ever on the show, throughout all the different episodes that, you know, her arc kind of, carried over in the few seasons that she was part of our show. Yeah. She was, definitely missed by everybody on our show. A great person to have around and definitely missed. Yeah.
She was very, I remember her on Bosch, and I think I saw her on another cop show too. She had that role. Oh, she's very pretty and very feminine, but played a great badass cop too. You know?
Yeah. And on our show, she played a great villain. I mean, her character was a great villain, you know, over a few seasons. And I think even kind of some of the things that she's done in the past still kind of linger in our show today, you know, in the episodes we're still doing. So yeah.
That's cool. Do you have other or fellow Wisconsin actors that you hold in high regard? Do you know other people out there working that you hang out with that are also from Wisconsin?
I mean, it's always fun to see, you know, not that I know him, but, you know, like the Mark Ruffalos or the, you know, it's always fun seeing those people doing well, knowing that they're from Wisconsin. It's called, you know, if they get an Oscar nomination, things, Willem Dafoe, you know, those guys, Tony Shalhoub. I did get to work on Tony Shalhoub when he did Monk. I got to work on that a couple times. Nice. You know, so it's always kind of fun when, you know, you're in the presence, like, hey, another Wisconsin person. Even on our show, we have one of our props guys Chris Schultz. He's from Wisconsin and actually went to school at UW Stevens Point. You know, so you just get chatting, and it's, and there's other guys that are Packer fans. I am not a Packer fan. I'm a Detroit Lions fan. I'm going to throw that out there. Hopefully you don't lose any viewers or listeners right now. But
who doesn't cheer for Detroit these days? Honestly, I mean, the city has like had such a tough time. I actually kind of cheer for them when they're doing well. So I
guess. Yeah. So it's fun to have those little rivalries, and you find other people who know what cheese curds are when you say the words. And yeah, so it's always good to meet fellow Wisconsin people out there.
All right. So the fact that you're from Wisconsin or Midwest, like we discussed, can a geographical location like Wisconsin play a part in your acting or how you approach characters?
I don't know. I mean, you know, cause it's like we're playing, you know, a lot of times, I mean, the show, like what I'm doing now, it's all set in LA, things like that. I mean, I think wherever you're from, there's always something that you can bring with you. Your life experiences, everybody's experiences are different, yet we're all kind of related in a similar way. So you just kind of draw from what you've gone through. You know, I kind of bring some of my stuff, I guess, from my sports background, things like that. You know, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's a good question. I'll have to think more about that.
I just think because people from the Midwest are salt of the earth, and I think that's a generalization. People are people, but
yeah,
I do ask that sometimes because sometimes people say absolutely, and sometimes people, you know, don't know what to make of the question because, like what you said, which is a good answer too. You look at this character for who he is or she is, and you attack it that way. And you probably, without even realize, bring your Wisconsin-ness to a role or Midwestern-ness, you know?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. And it's something I guess I've never really thought about, but now that you've brought the question up, I'll have to look into that a little more and delve into that.
You'll be an LA cop doing the Wisconsin accent all through the show, and the director will have you go, Jan, what is this? What are you doing?
And maybe that's my character's backstory. Is that he's from Wisconsin, moved to LA? I mean, that could be my thing.
I knew a couple cops actually that moved out there to be actors, and it didn't work out. You know, and they're like these strapping dudes and good-looking guys, and they just become cops. That's why all the cops out there, I think, are good-looking girls or guys. You know, you were on Criminal Minds too. How was that? What was that set like?
That, I mean, every set's great. You know, I mean, every set has their own environment, their own family. That, I think Criminal Minds, I've worked a couple times. One time, I think I was a dead body on there. For me, my experience that day was probably just a lot of looking down at a pile of blood on the carpet. Was probably, you know, just don't move for 6 hours. And I think that was my feature on Criminal Minds.
You probably, the odds are going to be, if you're on Criminal Minds and a guest star, you're either going to die or you're going to kill someone probably. Yeah. So
actually, now that I think of it, that was The Mentalist. That was the dead guy on the carpet. Criminal Minds, I think I actually played a cop again on that. And it was a scene set like in Texas or something. We were some Texas Sheriff's Department or something on Criminal Minds. But yeah, it's you know, I play a cop a lot on a lot of different shows. You know, CSI New York or cool. A lot of different shows. It's kind of,
We have to do, can you stick around for a couple minutes?
Yeah, of course.
We've got an awesome news break coming up. Civic Media News. They do such a great job at the top of the hour. And I'd like to keep you just for a few minutes. I'd like to ask you a few Wisconsin questions if we could do that. And
okay, sure.
Stuff about what you miss, what you're watching. And I think I might've figured out where I might've met you. I'll run that by Jan too. Jan Jansen is my guest from ABC's The Rookie. And he's just a good Wisconsin dude who loves to work, my kind of guy. So we'll have more with Jan coming up next. The news is now a quick news break, like only Civic Media can do. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll get a Max Inc. preview for the weekend.
And listen to some great Wisconsin bands.
Rocker joins us first thing in the morning. Be there.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 until 8.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade.
Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.